Thank you, gentlemen. The book of Proverbs tonight, Proverbs chapter 22. If you'll find your place there, we'll read one verse of Scripture in Proverbs 22 and then one verse of Scripture in Proverbs 23. And I just want to bring something tonight that kind of, if you will, set the tone for the evening and the week. And I'm thankful to be what I am. I'm not ashamed of who I am. I'm not ashamed of what I am. I'm a second-generation preacher. I grew up in a pastor's home. I'm not ashamed of that. I'm thankful for my heritage, and it's a Bible heritage. And I just don't understand. We have a great heritage, and so not us, because you know we got it all together, right? But sometimes we poor mouth. Oh, I'm just one of those old time, but no, I'm one of those old time way Christians, and I just want to remind us of some things this week. And those of you that this is your first time, thank you for being here, and thank you for coming. And our church has a heart for preachers. I love preachers. They're messed up, but I love preachers, and we want to be a help and an encouragement to you. We don't have you here to tell you how to do it. We're still trying to figure out how to do it ourselves. We want to be a blessing to you. We want to be a help to you. We want to be an encouragement to you. And we want you to make yourself right at home. And we hope that you'll find new friends here this week. But I do want to read Proverbs chapter number 22 in verse number 28. Stay with me if you would. Stretch your legs just for a moment. And we'll read verse 28 of Proverbs 22, a familiar verse to us. Remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set. Now, I know the King James Bible is hard to understand, but that seems pretty straightforward, doesn't it? And in case we didn't get it that time, if we look in Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 10, God says this, remove not the old landmark and enter not into the fields of the fatherless. Our theme this week is confronting the culture. Satan has captured our culture. We can deny it, we can ignore it, but it is a fact. And because he has the culture is now affecting the church. It affects the church because it affects you and I. And if we're not careful, we will allow the culture to dictate what we believe or where we draw our lines, our opinion of the old landmark. Tonight, I want to preach a message, the keeper of landmarks. The keeper of landmarks. Father, help us tonight. Already we've been blessed by just the fellowship, the mutual spirit. Father, we've been blessed by not just the great message we've heard, but the faithful life of the man who preached it. Father, we've been blessed by the music. We've been blessed that all that's been done. But Father, once again, speak to us, help us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. The word landmark can be defined as a mark to designate the boundary of land. Any mark or fixed object as a marked tree, a stone, a ditch, or a heap of stones, which by the limits of a farm, a town, or other portion of territory may be known and preserved. We read of this many times, even in our Bible, of landmarks being set. Uncharted territories were marked by these landmarks, as I've described. We think of these as just a marker of where one territory ends and a new one may begin, but there's more to it than just that. See, this was also an important point concerning the landmark, was the fact it protected the inheritance of the owner. It wasn't just my property's here, yours is there. It's not just a direction, you know, down by the big oak tree, take a right there. I mean, that's what they had then. They didn't always have GPS, you do know that, right? But it also guarded the inheritance. A man would leave out and he would chart and he would say, I am going to take this piece of land, I'm going to develop it, I'm going to spend my lifetime getting it ready so that my generations behind me can enjoy what perhaps I didn't have to enjoy. That landmark marked an inheritance. See, a man would be willing to defend his landmark with his life because of what it represented. You think of the pea patch in the Bible that God's man would stand over, that great warrior. You think of the inheritance that Ahab wanted that cost Naboth his life. Because it was something worth defending. It represented something. Likewise, this passage teaches of the thief and the dishonest who would steal, but there is also a bigger application of that which applies to our heritage and what has been passed down to us from our fathers. Let me just interject this here. I think it's wrong for ministries to disguise themselves as old-fashioned Bible believers, come take our young people, take our support, when they're not that. I think they're thieves. They're stealing our heritage. In case you didn't know what kind of a meeting this is, now you know. Therefore, we should be keepers of the landmarks and not neglectors of the landmarks. Or worse yet, movers of the landmarks. See, landmarks were vital to function as a society and for the future. It was a serious offense to move a landmark. We look back on history and say, if you'd move a little pile of rocks just a little bit, what's the big deal? But history says that if you move a landmark, that's a big deal. The landmark designated boundaries, but also was used for direction. People wouldn't know which way to go without that landmark. You read of the early settling of our country and these explorers, and they would leave landmarks along the way. And if somebody moved the landmark, those that came behind them would not know where they went, would not know where to go. In essence, erasing all the sacrifice, all the work, all the danger they risked along the way, and just move a little landmark. See, the landmark designated boundaries. See, a thief would slowly move the landmark, infringing on that which belonged to another. It was just a slight move. As I look at these two verses of Scripture, if you look in the Bible, it says it all for us. It says, remove not the ancient landmark. In other words, keep it. See, I'm commanded, and you are commanded to be a keeper of the landmark. We're not just commanded to be an observer of the landmark. We're not just commanded to talk about the landmarks, but we are commanded to keep the landmarks. See, I have never set a landmark. Neither have you. I've never been asked to set a landmark. But I have been commanded to keep the landmarks that have been set. Can I just say, I don't even have to know why they were set. I don't even have to know the spiritual condition of the person that set them. I don't even have to know what they liked and they didn't like. I just know that they've been set, and I've been commanded to keep the landmarks that have been set. I like the word in there, the ancient landmark. The old landmark. See, I wasn't there when they were set, and I didn't need to be. See, God used men of that era. God used men of the past to set them. And everybody after that is commanded to keep them. Those old ways. I like the old time way. I like the old time hymns. I like the old time preaching. You know, I still believe in old time soul winning. I like old time grace. I like old time Bible restoration. Boy, I think testimony of my dad when he was young, he had a Sunday school teacher that was an ex-convict that would tell him, don't go the way I went. Well, could you imagine if there's an ex-convict trying to teach in the Sunday school class today? The podcast that would be done, the canceling that would take place. The documentaries that would be shot. I still like Bible restoration. I like old-time Holy Ghost fire. See, if I didn't set them, and I didn't. And I'm commanded to keep them, and I am. I'm certainly not called to critique and criticize them. In fact, I don't even have to understand why they're there. See, let me just say, and we have a lot of new people this year, and some of you that are back, and we're thankful you're here too. I forgot to mention you earlier. Just so you know, I'm not one of these who likes to criticize the men of the past. I like to honor the men of the past. See, just a moment ago when I honored my friend, that was not for you. It, more than anybody else, it was for me. It was for that dear lady sitting right over there. Because those who have been faithful to keep the old time way, there ought to be some honor to them. I know what somebody may come up to me after the service and say, well, don't you know they weren't perfect? See, I like the old time way. I'm not going to criticize the past. Dr. Wallace, thank you. Thank you for staying faithful all of these years. See, I like the old time preachers. You know, if you didn't know, my last name is Neil. There was one before me. I'm not ashamed to be Tom Neal's son. I'm not ashamed to have Bob Gray as part of my church. I'm not ashamed to be affiliated with Jack Hiles. I'll say that again. I'm not ashamed to be affiliated with Jack Hiles. As a boy, I went soul winning with Carl Hatch. I'm not ashamed of that. I like the old-time preachers. As a little boy, I can think of the times when I was in the presence of Lee Roberson. See, I'm not... Anybody can cloud up and rain on somebody's ministry who's done something, who's built something, who's stood for something, who's guarded those landmarks and who's fought the enemies so the landmarks can stay the same. Anybody can cloud up and rain, but it takes something to get the power of God on their life, to do something for God and to build a work for God. I like the old-time way. I like the old-time preachers. Reminds me of my grandfather, my mom's dad. They lived in Alabama. And God helped them with that. In the back of their house, Anniston, Alabama, a little town in Alabama, and we'd go visit them, and there wasn't much to do there in that town. But there was a big plum tree right at the back door of my grandparents' house. And I've always loved fruit, and remember as a boy going back there, and that tree would just be big old plum tree full of fruit. And I liked it because anytime I wanted a plum, I could go get one. And my grandfather, he'd make plum jelly, and we would go get out, they'd go pick plums, and every once in a while you pulled a rotten plum. Now, when you pulled a rotten plum, you didn't boycott the tree. You didn't make a documentary about the tree. You didn't criticize the tree. You were smart enough to understand the bugs got this one. You were smart enough to understand disease got this one. In fact, you didn't go around town and talk about how bad the plum tree was. You didn't say, I've got four pieces of rotten fruit. You need to stay away from that tree. Oh, no, all you had to do is go look at the big tree with all the fruit on it, all the plums on it, and you could just say, that's just some rotten fruit, and I can pull of the good fruit of the tree. We need the sense of an old Alabama grandfather who remind you that fruit inspectors only inspect the fruit of others. They don't grow their own fruit. Really, what's going on in this world is there's a lot of people going after landmarks. You go after salvation by grace because it's a landmark. Let me very quickly make just a few statements tonight. That was just introduction. There's no statements there. Number one, the keeper of landmarks keeps boundaries. Remove not the ancient landmark. That landmark kept a boundary. I'm thankful that the boundary that has been established in my life, it's a Bible boundary. It's a Baptist boundary. This is a Baptist meeting. There might be others in here that aren't Baptists. You're welcome to be here, but I'm not going to change what I believe is a Baptist. I believe in Baptist doctrine, which includes autonomy. If you're not familiar with that word, that means the Emmanuel Baptist Church does what the Emmanuel Baptist Church leads, God leads them to do according to this book, and it means every other church does what God leads them to do in their church. And it's a moving of the landmark when we start minding each other's business. And then we like to set ourselves up as popes to dictate who should and shouldn't be in certain positions. See, I like the fact that we're all different. I mean, I don't know if you've looked around tonight. There's some different people in here. How many of you from the north? All right, everybody stare at them. They look at those different people. I think we have some Californians. I'm not even going to single them out. We're all different. God made us that way. Our churches are different. But we have the same Bible. If you go to Brother Hopkins' church, where I've had the privilege to go there, you go to the song service, the whole song service, he's got his hymn book out and he's just pacing. I'm like, what's wrong with him? He forget to go to the restroom before the service or what? He's just pacing and pacing and pacing. See, why does he do that? I have no idea why he does that. I've been to Brother Donnelly's church, and he, when they get the song service going, he gets everybody up. He comes up and starts leading and then steps away and lets the song leader go up. And I was like, if I did that at home, they would leave. But you know what? It's okay that we do it differently and we don't have to check in. That's a landmark that I am not going to move. I'm going to keep it. And can I just say to all of you men here who pastor a church, where God puts you, that's where God puts you. You answer to Him and Him alone into this book. And you do what God has commanded you to do. And don't forget, and forget about the brethren. It was a great, as a freeing day when I got voted out of the independent Baptist movement. Think about that. Statement number two. The keeper of landmarks safeguards inheritance. It changed my viewpoint when I was reminded I'm the safeguard. There's a generation before me that fought battles that I'll never know for that landmark. It's not my responsibility to find out every reason why they made every decision. We have the benefit of hindsight. We'll go look at an old landmark and there'll be buildings all around it. We'll say, why'd they put that there? Let me help you with that. Those buildings weren't always there. The landmark was there and everything else is there based on that landmark. Somebody safeguarded that landmark so there can be a town there now. See, I'm to be a guarder, a keeper of the landmark. The same Bible I have is the same Bible that was handed to me. The same doctrine I believe in is the same that was handed to me. Now, I had to make it my own. There came a point in time when I had to decide, I believe this. But I'm to safeguard that. I'm to safeguard that which has been handed to me. Statement number three. I've just got five statements. Statement number three. The keeper of landmarks respects previous generations. We've got a problem in our country is we don't respect the previous generations. We have a bunch of entitled, think everything should be handed to them. And if you don't give it to me, I'm going to burn the place down. Before we're too critical of them, sadly, there's generations of Christians who don't have respect for the previous generations. They disrespect the older saints of God who made the sacrifices for the very things that they enjoy. Can I just say this? The older I get, the crankier I'm getting. That's not really what I want to say. It just came out. But I'm fighting more battles the older I get. I know the battles that just I have fought in the last 15 years. I don't understand or know all the battles that the previous generation fought, but I know they fought them. And can I help us with something tonight? When somebody mentions the name of a preacher, why do we have to say, well, I don't agree with everything? Well, you know, we're going to have Brother so-and-so preach. Well, I don't agree with everything, but I think, why don't we just say, I thank God for him being faithful to preach the gospel for 50 years. He's pastored the same church for longer than you've been alive, dude. That says something. What we do is we judge men of past generations by the standard of the day. It's the equivalent of judging Abraham Lincoln by the modern world we have today. It's the equivalent of judging our founding fathers. Why didn't they just go Google it? They made the best decisions they could make with the limited education and worldview that they had. We must respect previous generations. Number four. The keeper of landmarks are honest.
Wow. Yeah, that's right.
To move them is fraud. My father pastored this church for more than 3 decades before I did. If I changed the Bible we used, I'd be a fraud. I'd be a thief. I'd be a crook. If I changed the direction, it would be fraud. Let me say to the younger generations, God put you in the home that you've put you into, and if you've got a Bible-believing mom and dad, a Bible-believing, a Bible-preaching pastor, you don't have the choice to go a different way. You're to follow the landmarks that they're protecting, they're guarding, and there should your course is charted for you. You just follow the landmarks that have been set there, and if you come behind and you move them, that's fraud. Sadly, there's a lot of young men. I say it's because it's my generation, and it's sad. They've taken over ministries ahead of them, and they're nothing but crooks, in my opinion. Because it was the tithes and offerings of that previous generation that built those buildings and fought those battles and dealt with the county and dealt with the state and fought the battles for the Christian school. And it's dishonest to come in and erase that memory and say, now we are enlightened. Statement number five, the one we're looking for. This is what I hope makes us think tonight. Look with me, chapter 23 and verse 10. Remove not the old landmark, and enter not into the fields of the fatherless. Statement number five is this: the keeper of landmarks prevents victims. See, the fields of the fatherless are those that had nobody to guard their landmark. Daddy died to disease. or fighting off somebody who was going to take our inheritance. And now I have nobody to keep that landmark. I have nobody to guard that inheritance for me. And the Bible is clear, enter not into the fields of the fatherless. Friend, if we don't keep the landmark, in spite of the culture, in spite of the pressure, in spite of the mockery, there are those who do not have someone to protect the Word of God for them, to guard over the heritage, to guard over the principle and the truths, and to guard over the local church assembly so that they can have a place to learn in Sunday school and have a place to learn that Jesus loves them and have a place to learn that God made them for something specific, and they can have a good life and they can have a home and they can have a future. And if we don't keep it, there's somebody who has nobody to keep it for them. The bus will never run in their neighborhood. They'll wander broken into a church instead of getting the gospel of Jesus Christ. They get a feel good affirmation. See, there are those who need us. I am very aware of the children that are in the nursery each and every Sunday. I have to keep the landmark for them. There are single mothers that bring their children to this church. I have to keep the landmark for them. We have to protect the fields of the fatherless. Instead of criticizing and judging all of the converts over the great bus ministries, maybe we should run the buses. We have to go, well, they'll get it on their own. How are they going to get it if we're not guarding it for them? See, friend, tonight, some would say you're trying to defend this or that. I'm not defending. I'm defying those who would move the landmarks. There's another generation of unwanted children that need to know that Jesus loves them. Jesus died for them. There's a generation of broken young adults who've tried everything in this world, and the devil's got a hold of them. There needs to be somebody to say there is victory, there is hope, there is life after that. Somebody has to defend their fields. And can I say very bluntly, shame on us if we don't. Tonight, my message is this. Let's be keepers. I think we're all here in this meeting because we all believe pretty much the same. But can we keep those landmarks? So, well, we get criticism. Well, good thing Jesus never got criticized. Matter of fact, he showed us how to deal with the Sanhedrin and the Pharisees. This is just their descendants. Well, it's not popular. When is it we ever try to do what was popular? Maybe you've allowed the landmarks to move just a little. Why don't you move them back where they were first put? To every pastor in here, I challenge you, I challenge myself. When my time at this church is done, the Lord says that I am done, which I hope is a long time from now. He calls me home. I turn it over. It's the same as it was when I received it. The same as it was. May that be all of our goal. If you're not a pastor, the pastor you support, the church where you go, you encourage your pastor. It's a battle to keep those landmarks. It's a fight to keep those landmarks. Can I say to the younger generation, at some point you have got to say, this is the landmark that has been set, and This is what's been handed to me, and I'll guard it, and I'll keep it. And I think we try and go out and reinvent church. We're going to reinvent. I'm going to show those old guys how it's done. Well, you can't improve on the landmarks. You can't improve on the Word of God. You can't improve on the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's keep the landmark. I stand here today, the pastor of Emmanuel Baptist Church, a preacher of the gospel by the grace of God, and because there are others who guard the landmark. The one that came before me guarded the landmark, but there are people in this church that guard that landmark. Preacher, let's guard the landmark. Father, tonight I pray that you would use